Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hello there. Welcome to Full Time with Meg Linehan and Steph Young. Let's be real. We need to get her name on this podcast title, but we are still here, very much so, at the World Cup. It's about a week in. I've been here in Auckland since last Friday, so a little bit more than a week. So we wanted to check in. The games have started, right? So we are going to record as much as we possibly can through this group stage, but also there are other podcasts throughout this tournament that will help keep you updated. But obviously, we want to make sure that you've got some U.S. Women's National Team focused content. So we are going to dive deep today on USA Vietnam, and then we are going to be convening soon on USA Netherlands in Wellington, so we will finally be in the same place, be able to record a little bit more, so expect more episodes around that game, and then especially once we finally meet back up for the knockout stages, I think that will make things a little bit easier rather than us bouncing around to different countries and games and all of these sorts of things. So I just got back from Waiheke Island out here in Auckland, having most of a day off, my first one since arriving at the tournament. Those are always few and far between, so obviously very grateful to get a few hours to myself to turn my brain off for a little bit, get on an e-bike, go explore, be out in nature. Always a good thing to just have at least a smidge of balance during a World Cup. It's really difficult. Things are moving rapidly all of the time, but I think it was a little bit of a day off for the U.S. Women's National Team, obviously following their opening win against Vietnam, that huge performance from Sophia Smith. All right, so let's bring in Steph, and we will just get this show on the road. All right, Steph, where are you in the world right now? Because I honestly don't even know.
I'm still in Melbourne, which is great. I don't leave Melbourne until the day after Germany-Morocco, which as we're recording this is tomorrow.
Okay, and then your next stop is Wellington? Question mark.
I'm coming to USA Netherlands.
Okay.
Which I'm glad you said Wellington, because I was like, I'm going to Auckland.
No, Wellington.
Wellington. And then, yeah.
We're going to have a little athletic US women's soccer sleepover in my hotel in Wellington. Wow. Because it's going to be you, me, and our editor Emily in my hotel room. It's going to be a great time, but I'm very excited to actually end up all being in the same spot. Finally.
Nice. Wellington is for the girlies.
All right, let's start with USA Vietnam being at this game. First of all, much warmer than the opener against New Zealand, so already instantly better vibe. Midday here in New Zealand, and I don't know, like, maybe it's just because I have watched so much U.S. Women's National Team soccer, but they looked pretty good to me.
I thought some of the tweaks he made, I noted this, on a couple other places, but Julie Ertz looked like she was kind of ticking with the people in the back there, in that midfield. Lindsey Horan was, you know, doing pretty well up there. Rose Lavelle, I know we all had so many worries, and she came in and was like, nope, I'm fine.
That's Rose.
Yeah, our forwards looked pretty good. I loved that when Trinity Rodman got subbed out, she like gave the dirtiest look over to the sideline.
But the part of it was because she like got sent in the, I mean, both her and Alex, I think, got sent in a weird direction to walk off the field
right.
too. So it was a weird vibe.
Right. But I was talking about this with friends, and they're like, and like Trinity Rodman hates being subbed out in mm-hmm. general, which is the attitude that you want from
yes.
a forward.
Yes.
In particular. Yeah.
Yes. 100%. I just, the things that stuck out as there was a weird vibe too in the mix zone here of just like, did you score enough? Right. Like there was a weird, I don't, it was such a like, are you responding to the narrative? Because people are expecting USA Thailand all over again, which first of all, no rational human being was expecting USA Thailand again. But second of all, just, I mean, maybe the general public was, but there was a sense of like, if you are responding to people who are worried that you didn't score enough goals after winning this game 3-0 and very handily so, strange, strange vibe. But the people who missed kind of obvious things were Alex Morgan missing that penalty kick, Lindsey Horan with that wide open look, and then, I mean, Roosevelt hit the crossbar, but like, whatever. And Rapinoe with that like sky high
yeah.
attempt late. But those are three players that like fundamentally, I don't think you really have to worry. Like those aren't players that I'm concerned about eventually like settling into this tournament. And there were some really nice passing. I mean, that first goal for Sophia Smith, Lindsey Horan, no look pass to get to Morgan, flicked assist to Sophia Smith. Like that was a really nice goal. And I just kind of felt like after the game, I was just the only one being like, that was kind of what they needed.
Yeah. Well, and also the thing about Alex Morgan is, okay, she didn't score the penalty, but everywhere else she looked on it. And the way that she and Sophia Smith were just kind of clicking off of each other, where it's like, even though Alex Morgan didn't score a goal, she facilitated other goals.
She is, again, still doing the dirty work of
right.
this forward line of pulling runners. And Trinity did that on the first goal, too. Like, Trinity kind of pulled some defenders her way. But, yeah, I had someone in my mentions just straight up being like, Alex Morgan is washed. She shouldn't be starting. And I was like, you weren't watching that game.
We're not watching the
sir.
Same game.
Like, you are not. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Zero attempts on goal from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Zero attempts officially. 26 attempts, 7 on goal from the United States. 260 passes Vietnam, 460 US. So,
yeah. Maybe not the most.
Control.
I mean, we're recording this Sunday evening, our time. But, you know, Japan obviously has had a dominant performance. Spain has had a dominant performance. And I just don't know what else people could have expected from the U.S. in that game. Like, truly beyond, should they have won 5-0? Sure, maybe. But 3-0 feels perfectly okay. Honestly, okay, maybe I'll hedge that and say, like, 4-0 would have felt like a good result, especially if you've gotten another substitute, a goal, right? Like,
right.
If Rapinoe finishes one of those, or if Rose finishes that one that goes off the crossbar, like, that to me feels like where they should have been. But I don't, that Vietnam defense and also the physicality, I mean, there was so much stuff that was not getting called in that game, period, including straight up like just two handed shoves to the back.
Yeah.
Like, but that's, I mean, they're used to it. It felt CONCACAF-y. Honestly, like that was the vibe.
Yeah. CONCACAF, playing CONCACAF is a little like when you train with weights. Like you see the batters with the weights on their bat, so that when they take it off, you're like, oh, this is what it's like to just swing normally. Yeah, I thought the U.S. was pretty much fine, and I think there's this other thing where I've talked about it before, where like, how do you use this first game? Is it, you know, you're trying to rotate the roster? That's going to be so important. Especially because, you know, players like Rose, they look fine, but she's not 90 minutes
mm-hmm.
yet, right? Pino's not 90 minutes, that sort
mm-hmm.
of thing. But you want to start your starters and get them confident. You want people to get their legs loose. You want people to score, the right people to get the mindset of like, okay, I scored a goal. Like I can just kind of take a breath now. But the opening game was Vietnam. And then the next game is Netherlands. So how do you pace like your starters with like who's jumping from playing back-to-back games? And just, yeah, it's a very tricky balance that I think you have to strike there. I think, not to bring up Canada, but Bev Priestman said something inevitable, like unwittingly poetic, where she was like, everyone wants the perfect game of football, but it'll never happen.
Also, it will never happen in a World Cup, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I keep going back to, because we already flash back to 2015 with Julie Ertz playing center back, right? Like, we're already living in the past right now. I just think about their path through that 2015 World Cup, and it was by no way, shape, or form a perfect tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just no, until they got forced to make changes because of yellow cards, there was no perfect game. And
yeah,
I, and Kim McCauley made this point in Slack, so I want to give full credit to Kim for it, but I just keep thinking about how if the U.S. had played their opening game against Haiti and had that 1-0 performance, heads would be rolling right now, right? Like, it just feels like this impossible standard. And I feel like this is something that we've been talking about a while, but it just feels like everybody walked out of that game mostly unhurt, right? Like that huge early injury scare with Trinity Rodman, her going back into the game, holding her back, right? A known issue for her to then play and then be, again, to your point, pissed that she's coming out of the game. And so for everyone to walk out feeling okay, we think, we hope, we'll find out, I guess, tomorrow at media availability. And then win 3-0, get some goals, get Sophia Smith cooking. Like Sophia Smith, obviously game of her goddamn life for her World Cup debut. And then to like get into the mix zone and her tell us like, yeah, I was actually pretty nervous. Like if that's Sophia Smith nervous.
Right.
Sorry to the rest of you when she feels comfortable in this World Cup.
Right. I do want to point out, we may not even find out about player injury either. I think about Australia kind of sitting on the Sam Kerr news, which like, why would they let anybody know that Sam Kerr is not available up until the last second, right?
For so many reasons too. Not just for like the deceiving opposing teams, but also just for pure narrative sake.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
understandable.
And then today, Matchday Minus One, the Germany presser, Martina Voss Tecklenburg, I'm so sorry to the good people of Germany and to Martina Voss Tecklenburg. But she was also asked about player availability. And she just had this tone of like, why would I tell you that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on anything because it's going to give our opponent information. And I was like, yeah. You can ask, but
what was really funny is I was in a conversation about the U.S. and obviously Vlatko's getting a million questions about Ertz, about Rapinoe, about Lavelle. And I was like, man, if I was Vlatko, I would straight up be lying and be like, oh, none of them can play right now. what a terrible.
We're
what a
so,
terrible. Oh, God. It's
we have
awful.
14 players.
Like it's just like, that's the World Cup vibe. Like you're gonna get lied to. That's how it works. I'm sorry, but that's part of the game.
Shenanigans. Remember, where was that whole thing last time, Hotelgate or whatever, that didn't actually exist, right? But like everybody gets paranoid about information.
Yes, it's like literally the smallest thing.
Where you come from? What you got? What do you got? What's in your hand there? Like who are you? You know?
Yeah. That's the vibe. Are there any other, we're both heading to USA Netherlands. Obviously the Netherlands is a completely different opponent than Vietnam. Like, and that's fair to say, right? Like this is, I think my number one question heading into this game is, if Rose has played 30 minutes, does she start in game two, right? Of, okay, you got her some minutes on the field. She did not get kicked. Great. She can then start in game two, because we saw Savannah DeMello hop into that starting role, which for me felt like a great relief because of corner kicks. And I mean, honestly, I think she should have been taking free kicks as well. But, you know, you have Savannah DeMello come in. Now I think the question is, does Rose start game two against the Netherlands? Because that honestly like, that makes me feel better, right?
Yes, right.
What are you thinking heading into that game?
Like, Rose Lavelle start, we're going to do two back-to-back 90s for players like Lindsey Horan, Sophia Smith, that sort of thing. I don't know if we'll rotate Trinity, but I think your key players you're looking at here are going to be, like, Ertz, Sullivan, Horan, Lavelle, Sophia Smith, Alex Morgan, that spine, right? That goes up and down, kind of
right down the middle.
And then you get a strong result against Netherlands, and maybe you're able to finally rotate your last Portugal. Game a little bit.
I mean, that has in theory been the plan this whole time of, like, you start your strongest starting 11, though I think maybe, again, the DeMelo Lavelle swap happens, right? I don't think any of us have ever expected it for Rapino, but if Lavelle is ready to play at least 45, I think you aim for a start and get that lead. And then if it happens, she gets to have a nap, right? I mean, it will be really interesting. Again, like, I don't, tomorrow here in Auckland, before I head up to Wellington on Tuesday, we're getting players only. Like, this is the other really interesting thing of our World Cup too, of we only get Vlaco match day minus one. We're getting players in the meantime. So there is no, like, pestering Vlaco and trying to see, okay, can you get, like, the slightest bit of information between now and match day, because it's not happening for a while. So
I think trying to get any information out of a coach or a player during the World Cup, it's like, look, yeah, well, that's our job. We got to ask, but bless if you get any kind of answer.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Also, I do want to sidetrack us a little bit. How have the official press conferences been on your side? Because I have developed a new pet project of tracking who's asking what questions, because we have one particular employee of the tournament here who is, the first official press conference was an 8-0 run from men, and then post game it was 6-0, and then finally Nancy Armour from USA Today got a question in. But it's been rough here.
It's been a little bit different tracking things a lot of the times, because I'm not in an English language press conference, so I'm like listening with one ear. And then I made the mistake of trying to also listen to, like, Morocco's head coach is French, and I was trying to listen to the French on the fly while also listening to the translation to see if they were vibing. Like anyone who can do real time a translation is much smarter than me and has a more powerful brain. But I was just kind of like check against that. And even doing that, like, used up so much processor power. I could not register who was asking what. I will say that the rooms have had quite a few women in them, but I think they have been majority male, just because that's the space that we work in. Yeah, I'm sure if I watched back, like, for example, the Germany press conference, it was pretty heavily dominated by questions from men. And I don't love that, but that's also a longer term logistical thing that we're just going to have to work on, and like mentoring women in sports journalism, which like, I'll add it to the list.
The rooms for USA are obviously pretty balanced, so it is a global thing, obviously. Yeah, it is really funny to kind of not only get outside of the bubble of like the U.S. women's national team outside of World Cup time, but then to also be at a World Cup where it's these press conferences are not run by U.S. soccer, the official ones, right? The match day minus ones. So when we're in the room where it's being run by U.S. soccer, it feels very business as usual. And, you know, Aaron Heifetz, the press officer, knows all of us and is kind of trying to do his best to distribute questions. And then also it's generally two players at this table, and then they also split them at the table, and then we do these little scrums that are very silly. So it feels kind of business as usual, but then to get into that FIFA space and just kind of be like, this is a time that I am not enjoying. So my new little, I basically copied you because I remember you doing this in press conferences of tracking who asks the question. Gender outlet and
reporting
back on what the vibe is, because so far I am not entirely impressed.
Ongoing issue. I think it's definitely a good practice for all of us in this space to kind of keep an eye on.
All right. Let's talk about some other teams beyond the US. Can we please start? If you end up watching this video on YouTube, I am wearing my brand new New Zealand Football Ferns sweatshirt. The opener against Norway. I mean, just being here in Auckland and getting a sense of what it means for this country. Steph, you've spoken to Ali Riley a lot in the lead up to this World Cup. I got to speak with her in the mix zone. She was not crying, but she was very like, just I feel like that was the best night of her entire life, period, which really makes me happy. Like, I feel like, first of all, I just want to kind of put the disclaimer, I feel like I have lost all sense of impartiality when it comes to New Zealand, because this to me feels like the moment that they needed so desperately to build something in this country that is sustainable. And at this point, I am just full on like, please keep doing the damn thing. Like, get out of, like, you've won your first World Cup game. Get out of the group. Please.
I don't know how many people in women's soccer or soccer in general there are as like universally beloved or respected or even just liked as Ali Riley. Like, I think all the tweets about her, everyone was just like, so happy for her. There's probably even Norwegians out there who are like, all right, it sucked, but I can't be angry about, but in Norwegian, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
She just always comes across as very genuine, generous. She gave me a lot of time, which is crazy in the lead up to a World Cup. Like, the number of interviews and calls that we had, even if it was like in between sessions or on the way, or like, I can hear them waiting for luggage in the background, or she's having to toss a bunch of bags in a van and they're headed somewhere. She still made the time to talk because, and it wasn't, you know, just because like me or whatever, probably not even that, but she understands the power of narrative, the value of story, especially to a small team like the Football Ferns that have always had to fight to kind of punch above their weight. You know, and she knows like Rhea Percival's getting older. She's getting older. I'm not saying this is her
last
cup.
She had a really interesting Instagram story, right? Like, obviously she's getting through the game, but she had an Instagram for Percival that was like, thank you for convincing me to keep going like 4 years ago when I was ready to hang it up.
Right. Yeah. They had that conflict with their old coach, Andreas Herhoff. Yeah. Like, she's talked about that with us a little bit. Pretty candidly, I might add, for that being a conflict between players and their coach, even though it was, you know, a few years ago, but just about how it was such a tough time and she wanted to walk away and she stayed. And now look, her parents got to see her. I saw that and I was just like, you know, it's like that meme where it's like everyone liked that.
There's also a part of it too that I found out also that New Zealand press were also calling here for Ali Riley to be relieved of being captain. of New Zealand. Like June 30th, this article publishes of Jitka has to make a strong decision and they're not getting the results. And ahead of this World Cup, they've got to get a new captain. And it is really funny just because obviously, like, again, we are coming from this kind of like very American centric Ali Riley beloved figure, right? And like true leader, I firmly believe like a true leader. And so having been here in January and having seen kind of the narrative even around those games where there was this extra context, right, of these are outside of FIFA window, USA is going to USA, right? And like they want to have their little World Cup test run in New Zealand. So they want to play New Zealand and they can't get all of their players from Europe. So it's not a full strength team. And seeing Ali Riley in these press conferences rooms and like honestly being a little frustrated, right, by the narratives around this team and feeling like, you're not putting this in the proper context, but this is good preparation for us. It is a good look at the wider pool of the Ferns and potential players. And honestly, someone might step up and play their way into a World Cup roster here, right? And so to go from that January moment to this one, World Cup game, getting their first ever tournament win on the day where an active shooting situation was happening here in downtown Auckland, which does not happen in New Zealand, right? Like that was so clear. And it was so strange and surreal to be an American who is so used to that situation, to be here in Auckland and to see how completely unusual and how differently they react to a situation compared to all of us. So it was just such a strange day, followed by that game that was just, in terms of non-US women's national team international, like the best game I've ever been at, ever. Like 42,000, like the vibes were, it was freezing cold, but the vibes were so good. Mm-hmm. And I just, at this point, like New Zealand, A, please adopt me as an unofficial citizen, but it is, I don't know. That was one of the main takeaways I took in January, is just feeling kind of like we had this obligation to do something for New Zealand. Like New Zealand has to take it. We know Australia is going to be fine after this World Cup. They are in such a good position. They have all the storytelling around the team. They have the documentary. They have Sam Kerr. They have An O'Dong. Shout out An O'Dong, right? Like who has been there and knows, right? Like they are going to take this World Cup and thrive. After, no matter how this team does, like truly they will thrive on the world stage after this. And New Zealand was not in that same position. And New Zealand is arguably never going to get a World Cup like of this stature again, right? And to take full advantage of this moment, and it feels like they are. And that first win in the opening game, getting that goal, like it just feels very emotional in a way that just feels so satisfying.
It's like the pinnacle of like what sports makes you feel, the pinnacle of like what sport is able to make you like turn your bitter little New England soul all shriveled up from the winters and like
I don't know, it's just there was something about it where it was just like, oh, it's just because I also think most rational people went into that match thinking, please don't get embarrassed. Like truly, like if there was a team I was worried about right now, it was New Zealand, of just like, you got to get a win at some point in the script. Like you just at least have to get a win.
Right. And then they beat Norway. Probably. I don't know if there's the biggest threat in group. Like they, I don't want to count out Philippines for, you know, weird things happen in the World Cup. But so I was talking to Tembe Kalana, who, by the way, let's go South Africa over Sweden. I haven't checked the scoreline yet because we're recording this. So nobody tell me if it's, things are going badly. But, you know, I mentioned the group, including Sweden, and she wasn't dismissive, but she was like really confident about like, yeah, but sometimes it's also about who wants it more. And you can discount that as like athlete self-talk or whatever, but this was a game of who wanted it more. Like you could see it. Norway is capable of playing better than that. And they, for whatever reason, didn't. And then New Zealand, okay, maybe some places here and there, the technicality wasn't quite happening, but you could tell they were like,
They were up for it 100%. Again, yes. the vibes are so like, and it was really funny because you could get the sense of like, sometimes they get into the final third and you could just tell like, they were like, I don't know what we're doing. Where are we right now? And Allie Riley, who's obviously very used to this, kept coming up the wing and then just being like, guys, where are you right now? Come on. Yeah. But yeah, just truly, truly great game.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's move on to Canada.
Wow, that
feels like less of a great game.
So I think I mentioned this in my post-game, which is actually more about Ifeoma Onumanu, but this is one of those games where it's a draw and one team definitely felt more like they lost and the other team felt like they won. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really felt like for about the first 10, 15 minutes, Canada was like, okay, they're going to press things here. They were very clearly missing Jessie Fleming. Things improved when they brought on players like Chloe Lacasse, Evelyn Vien, who's, I'm like, I really wish that things had worked out for her at Gotham that would be great if she were there with them. But the point being, it was very interesting in terms of Canada where it's like, oh, I think this is finally the time where they have to rely on their new kids. Like coming into this, it was like, oh, they're going to be relying so much on their veterans, Christine Sinclair and Sophie Schmidt. And then obviously they've still got like Kadesh Buchanan, Ashley Lawrence, and stuff like that. But I'm like, oh, I think it's happened already. Like, I'm not even talking about the Sinclair penalty. Like, she's not really their penalty taker as much as she's like their...
I mean, it was Jessie Fleming in the Olympics.
Yeah, right. She's as much as she's been their clutch player. So I'm not even counting that. It's just like, who is this team going to look to help them build? Sophie Schmidt, I want to say, actually looked pretty decent in helping some of her distribution, like her balls forward, moving it into space. But yeah, really missing Jessie Fleming. And then, again, coming back to Lacasse, and then she really felt like the spark that a lot of Canada needed. Nigeria took their chances, though. They definitely gave it back. This was such a, back and forth game eventually. It was honestly actually really exciting. It was a pretty exciting 0-0.
Yeah, game. It felt like that. I only watched the first half live, but I watched it in the fan zone here in Auckland, which also, the fan zones here are amazing compared to that. I watched exactly one game in the fan zone in Paris, which was not really it was an outdoor space that was kind of miserable but had like very overpriced beer. This one, it feels like a legit
the fan zone in Melbourne is cool.
It is funny because they're at the Cloud here in Auckland and they don't really have heating in the space, so they have like these giant space heaters. But if you're here, please put on a jacket before you go in there, because it is not necessarily the warmest space. But it's just so fun to go watch a game that you're not covering in one of those fan zones and get the reactions of, because generally everyone is kind of like a neutral-ish watching it, though it was fun because I felt like Americans have just like truly overrun this country. And so it was just like anytime an NWSL player was involved, you could hear people be like, hello, there's someone I know, someone I know.
Because here in Melbourne at Melbourne Rectangular Stadium, I felt like the crowd was pretty firmly pro-Nigeria.
Yeah, that was kind of the vibe of the...
They
yeah.
got real loud, especially near the end in the second half. Anytime.
Do you
Nigeria
think that was also Australia getting behind? Because I feel like generally a host country gets behind whatever the lower ranked team is.
Yeah, there were some Nigerian fans there who had like clearly traveled, and then mm-hmm. like Asisat Oshoala's cheering section was right next to the media tribune. This person yelled, I don't know if you heard it, this person yelled Asisat like on the minute, every minute for 90 minutes, it felt like. And I was like, that's
fun. There were some good like Vietnam support directly mm-hmm. next to the media mm-hmm. tribune and mm-hmm. in Eden Park, and I was definitely enjoying it. I mean, like, I feel like that's kind of the joy of the World Cup, is that you actually get these games where you have two distinct mm-hmm. fan presences, and
yeah,
like actually there is no, I mean, obviously for a New Zealand crowd it feels very, very different. That felt, I there was never any sense of a Norway presence. They were definitely in the stadium, but there you could not yeah. there was no Norway cheering happening right, in that right, match. Right.
Yeah. What was really cool for me personally was afterwards coming through the mix zone, which, side note, the players, they are supposed to come through the mix zone. They don't have to stop, which is their right. Like, you can be like, can you ask a question? They can be like, no. Super cold. They're in their little, like, Quinn goes past literally like this, holding their arms like tucked to their body. And I was like, where's your puffer jacket? Where's the
equipment person being like,
yeah, exactly. But they just all ran in. I don't think Christine Sinclair went through, which
interesting.
Yeah. We were all waiting, and then finally,
that was the vibe of the New Zealand game. Yeah. The press officer for New Zealand came through and was like, Allie Riley's already been through here. And we were like, excuse us, sir. We know what Allie Riley looks like. She has not been through this
right
zone.
Right.
And then eventually, like 90 minutes after the game, she right. comes through finally. And but then was because... like so shocked. It was like two New Zealanders and then all Americans. Like it was truly the American media fan zone of Allie Riley.
Well, two things. First, because it was the flip here, where that's because she was having a good cry with Jacinda Ardern, right? No. Whereas here, I think it was just because the Canadians were like, they had just gotten to a draw in a game they maybe should have won, maybe. Just based on the first half. Mm-hmm. And then it was the same NWSL connection. This was a really nice moment. Ify came through and then moved on to the press conference, but then she saw me and I was with CBS's Courtney Smith, and we were there, and she was like, what are you doing here? And we're like, we came here to cover you.
Yeah, it's always really nice to
hear.
Yeah. Allie Riley came and like grabbed my arms and was like
yeah.
So it is really the World Cup has some really nice moments where, you know, we're also working 14 16 19 hour days, but like every once in a while you get that nice little moment and you're like, hey,
yeah,
it's fun. There's some fun parts to it. Have you had...
Sometimes we have a cool job.
Yeah. Let's talk about time off a little bit. What food are you eating
still? I've been focusing pretty heavily on like East Asian. So last night I met up with some Canadians who are here to cover Canada. Obviously, we found some Korean fried chicken. Mm-hmm. There's like a little Koreatown kind of... downtown, just off of like the main Chinatown area, which was really, really cool. I got to go back for the proper barbecue. I think I'm hitting a Japanese izakaya tonight, that style. I've had ramen. Still some great breakfast sandies. Like,
yeah. Again, I know I said it in the last podcast, but this is really, it's a strong World Cup for food.
Yeah.
Strong World Cup and coffee. Like, a lot of coffee happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went out to Waiheke Island again today. I had most of the day off, which is good because I literally had to file at 8 p.m. New Zealand time last night in order to make that happen. And also file a story on Friday in order to make that happen. But yeah, it was, you know, a little bike ride, got some whiskey, came in back on the ferry. Apparently I'm getting, it was truly, I got also, can I just say, I got adopted by this family from Wisconsin on the ferry out to Waiheke Island, where they were just like, who are you?
Very Wisconsin family thing to do, though.
Yeah, 100%. But it was extremely delightful. Yeah, rented an e-bike, bopped around, got some snacks, had a little meat pie, did a hike, got covered in mud. Not as bad as our editor, Emily, who truly got covered in mud today. But yeah, just, you know, New Zealand, what a country. Truly.
I know you could see the little gleam in my eye, but you brought it up. So now everybody else is also going to know. Waiheke Island is the hometown of Zoe Bell, who is the stunt woman for Xena Warrior Princess, I believe from season 2 or 3 on.
And now you know.
Now you
that's,
all know.
That's Steph's fact that she will drop 100%. Anyway, so when we are back here for, in theory, again, knock on wood, knockout stages, I am now like, everybody's coming back out. We're getting on e-bikes. We'll have our adventure out here again. Just, yeah, feel like America has truly, everywhere I looked today on the ferry, it was just U.S.
Delighted folks. American tourists.
So, like, truly everybody is just living out here. And it's so funny because I feel like every local is like, we're sorry about the weather. And I'm just like, it is 50 to 55. I have 2 layers on. Truly, yeah. The best.
Oh, it's perfect.
Like, it's
crisp.
Perfect. It's early fall in New England. I'm loving it. Let's go. So
get the apple cider and fireball going, man. Yeah.
No. All right. So we will see each other in Wellington soon and probably record another one of these episodes actually like around the same microphone. But yeah, I mean, I just hope it feels so strange to like have you so far away in a World Cup. Truly.
It's been a little weird to do this and not be following the US, although I do love that we're, you know, trying to spread our coverage around. It's really cool to see other teams. You know me, I'm a Canada head from way back in the day, so that's fine. Melbourne is a really cool city. I know Melbourne and Sydney are apparently locked in some kind of like good city, bad city, eternal struggle. So yep. I haven't been to Sydney yet. I'll compile the evidence and afterwards I'll predict that means nothing as an American. Like,
that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I have been, it is really funny to also like be in another country and then like, you're just on your phone, you know, mindlessly scrolling TikTok or whatever. Cause I got a video suggested to me that was like about Sydney first Melbourne. And I was just like, oh, I didn't realize we were supposed to have opinions about this, but now I know that there's a whole sister vibe to these cities of just slightly hating each other, but not wanting to admit it. So we'll find
I'm
out.
Sure they might hate each other, but then when it comes to the US, they're like on the same side. And they're like,
it's just like, you can't say shit.
Yeah.
Just us.
Shut up. Yeah. Can't wait to come visit the place where Xena Warrior Princess used to be filmed. Long time dream of mine.
All right, Steph, we will see you in Wellington. And yeah, just, you know, keep having a great World Cup.
Oh, good.
All right. Thanks to Steph for checking in. Again, we will be linking back up in Wellington. We will have some more episodes. We've got a good like special episode of this podcast coming up because if you haven't heard, the players are all talking about, I mean, honestly, if you look at any U.S. Women's National Team Instagram post from players, they are all posting that coffee that they're getting via the little Nike coffee machine. So we'll have something on that on the next episode of Full Time that's really cool and exciting and just honestly something that's very different from the previous World Cups in that the amount of resources coming into this World Cup feels very different. Just honestly, the vibe here just around this World Cup, it feels, I've said this in the previous episode, but it feels very night and day right at the moment and how this World Cup feels as opposed to 2019. It definitely feels like the money is flowing in a little bit better. The fan zone here in Auckland is amazing. I think the traveling presence is still really great, despite the fact that obviously France is a lot easier to get to. I mean, the ferry out to the island today was just full of Americans. I did kind of, again, unofficially get adopted by this family from Wisconsin. So, you know, it's just there's something special about covering the U.S. women's national team in a World Cup. So excited to link up with Steph soon. Again, you can listen to Full Time wherever you get your podcasts, obviously at The Athletic, Apple, Spotify, wherever it is. Make sure that you are subscribed so that way whenever we drop an episode, because time zones are weird. Time zones are very strange here. I'm in the future. It's Sunday when I'm recording this. So if you don't want to miss a new episode, just make sure you're subscribed. And that way, whenever we finally get around to recording, you'll be the first to know. Thanks for listening. I'm Meg. This is Full Time, which is produced by Michael Zimmerman here at The Athletic. And we'll talk to you next time.